We're looking at the places and the people we love today on Travel with Rick Steves. We'll hear the stories of three American women whose European travels resulted in the ultimate souvenir, a husband and a new life in Italy. We'll also hear how an American family almost got in over their heads when they fell in love with a rugged little island off the coast of France and bought a house there. Don Wallace tells us how his neighbors helped his family restore more than just a building. 877-333-7425. That's our phone number. Let's start with a look at the intimate gardens that Impressionist painter Claude Monet created around the end of the 19th century at his house in Giverny. Elizabeth Murray is a gardener and an artist from the Monterey Bay area in California. She volunteered nearly a year of her life to help restore the gardens in 1985. She's updated and re-released the beautiful photo-filled book she compiled to convey how Monet created his gardens as a work of art in themselves. It's also where you can experience his famous water lilies in person. Her book is called Monet's Passion: Ideas, Inspiration, and Insights from the Painter's Gardens. Elizabeth, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Anybody who loves art knows Impressionism, and when you say Impressionism, you think Claude Monet. Set up the garden. What is it with the great painter having his own garden to help inspire his art?
His garden was both a sanctuary for him and his family and a place that became his biggest inspiration. And he lived there in Giverny, a little village, for 43 years. And he started to create this garden for his own pleasure and delight, and then realized it had everything he needed to paint. He didn't have to travel outside of it any longer as he was aging and all these other political things and wars were happening. So here is a garden of great beauty that nourished him, inspired him, and he organized the colors and plants and reflections so that it was something he could be inspired to paint each day.
So he spent his last 43 years there. He died in 1926. Today, nearly 100 years after his death, we can go there and enjoy the gardening wizardry of this great painter because he painted and he planted, and it comes together. Now, you visited back in 1984. Reading your book, it's just an amazing story. Tell us how you first met Giverny and then why that changed your life.
Well, I've always been a painter and a gardener, and when I went there, I literally got a lump in my throat. I had fallen in love. I thought, more than anything, I want to know this garden intimately, and the best way to know a garden is to work in it. So I had a French friend with me, and I didn't speak French, and she helped me meet one of the gardeners who said, oh, you must go and speak to Monsieur Vanderkamp and ask if you can work here. And I thought, you know what? I live in Carmel, California. I have a great house and 9 people working for me. I was a professional gardener, but I'm willing to give that up in order to work for free. And it has been something that has enriched my life.
So wait a minute. And about 30 years ago, you were traveling around,
yes,
and you were visiting gardens all over Europe. You've seen a lot of great,
yes,
gardens. You're a professional gardener with your own staff. You went to Giverny,
yes,
2 hours west of Paris, and you were so impacted by that that you went home, quit your job, and moved to France and volunteered for nearly a year.
Yes, that's right. And I didn't speak French.
Alors là, nous sommes dans les jardins de Giverny, de la maison de Claude Monet.
I'm not a gardener, but I go to these great gardens in Europe, and I love them. They just are delights.
Mm-hmm.
How was Giverny a step above all of those?
Well, it was a step into my heart. That was it. It wasn't that it was grander by any means, but I love Monet as an artist, and so this is like a living painting, and I felt, like many people who visit, the spirit of Monet.
Hmm.
So when you feel the spirit of someone you love and admire, and then you get to see some of the ideas and where he lived, you really feel his presence,
hmm,
and that's really what I fell in love with. And so you have a great painter who knew light. His biggest emphasis was painting light and all the shades of color. So instead of just organizing a bouquet or organizing a still life, he organized a whole garden that would have the colors that sang for him with his kind of color sensitivity and rules of color.
Now, this is interesting, Elizabeth. You're talking about light, and, you know, the whole rallying cry of the Impressionist movement was for the artists to get out of the studio and into the light, and they would set
their
easels out in nature, and then they would grab the light, and these artists like Monet would famously paint the facade of a church at different times of day, and for them, it wasn't the same subject. It was completely different subject because the light and the shadow would play on the physical object differently at different times of day. And this is sort of the essence of Impressionism, isn't it? It's capturing the light and the reflections and the shadows.
Exactly. The impression of that moment gave its name, Impressionism. It's one thing to have it on a building, which Monet did the incredible ones of the cathedral in Rouen, but then you have it of living textural plants that are going to change with the light, and they have their own vibration.
As an artist and a gardener, Elizabeth, you could sit in Monet's garden, and would you appreciate the different times of day? Would you enjoy that dimension of it? So as a sightseer, we can go in the morning and we can go out for lunch and take a walk and come back in the afternoon. And artistically, it's a different garden.
Absolutely. And then it might rain. You might have pouring rain, bring an umbrella. Ah. And then the rain will break and you'll have gray clouds and everything will be all shiny and sparkly. Or you might be there for early dew, or you might be there for a little frost. The seasons completely change the colors.
It's carbonating the whole experience by appreciating this extra dimension. I'm Rick Steves, and our guest, Elizabeth Murray, is an artist, photographer, and gardening expert. She helped with the restoration of Claude Monet's famous gardens at Cheverny after time and the Second World War had left them in ruins. She's published a book called Monet's Passion, with photos, observations, and tips on the plants Monet used to convey a vocabulary of color in his gardens. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Kristen's on the line in Delray Beach, Florida. Kristen, thanks for your call.
Nice to talk to you, Rick. I'm so excited to hear what Elizabeth is saying about Monet's gardens, because for me, 2 Mays ago when we went to Paris, my husband and I took the train to Giverny and loved it. It was the first time that we had gone. I'm a photographer, and it was splendid. We had a pretty rainy stay for most of our time in Paris, but the day opened up when we went to Giverny, and it was one of those days where the sun was not shining brightly, but it was light. It was perfect for photography, and I loved it, and what Elizabeth was saying about the different textures and the different colors for the different seasons was so true, because the lilies were not in bloom in May, but still, the way the banks of the pond were planted, there were wonderful reflections in the water. And there were areas that were all blues and purple flowers, and then there were areas that were all yellows and oranges. It was splendid. And the wisteria on the Japanese bridge, it was just a very exciting time.
And you need to be tuned in to those beyond the physical features sort of dimension of what you're looking at, don't you? You need to be looking at the glimmer and the shadow and
absolutely,
reflections.
And it's nice, their webpage lists the flowers that you can expect to have blooming in the different seasons. I found that a wonderful help.
So Elizabeth, you've been there over 30 years, many, many times. What is your recommendation to enjoy the garden the most? Is there a season or a time of day, or is it just the variety?
Well, I love May. May and June are incredible, although they tend to get a little more crowded. And I also love the late summer, early autumn, like September and the first couple of weeks of October, because the garden has gone wild and the whole scale and the color scheme of the garden is very different. It's more messy, but huge, with dahlias and sunflowers and purple asters, and the nasturtiums have covered the Grand Allée and the roses are covering. As the caller mentioned, it's the spring, you know, when you see the roses and wisteria and irises. And then about June or July is when the water lilies start to open, and they're really lovely.
Ah, it sounds like there's many times you can go. Kristen, did you go to the Orangery in Paris as a sort of a prep?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, yes. You know, that's what's so important, is to remember that in Paris, you've got the Orangerie. There's lots of great Impressionists in Paris, but the Orangerie was designed by Monet to house his great, great collection of canvases, the water lilies, and all that comes right out of Gevernay. And I understand, Elizabeth, that the gift shop at Gevernay was actually his studio. And you can imagine Monet
That's
there
right.
with his big canvases where they sell all the gifts and the posters today.
It's an incredible building, like a huge, mm-hmm. huge barn with big skylights that he had transparent kind of special curtains on that he could adjust the light. And those panels were so enormous. Each one is maybe 30 feet long, mm-hmm. and they all joined together nice. To cover the walls in two curved rooms.
It's an amazing experience.
Oh, it is. It was so ahead of its time. And the experience is to walk inside the pond and look around you and see the light changing. And that was his gift to Paris. He called it his bouquet to Paris.
And it's a shame to miss that when we visit. Now, Kristen, thanks for your call.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to you. Nice to hear this.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Elizabeth Murray. Her book is Monet's Passion, and it's all about the Garden of Gevernay and the great painter who was also a great gardener. In your book, you wrote, "We need to take time to introduce each generation to art and to nature." Why is that important, and how is your work at Gevernay part of that mission?
Well, I think it brings art and nature through the garden together. And I think it's important because it ignites our imagination and creativity and our recommitment to nature and to beauty and renewal, and it connects us all.
In so many ways, if you love art and you go to Gevernay, you realize you love nature also. It's a beautiful coming together of two fundamental aspects of our lives here. Elizabeth Murray, thank you so much, and congratulations on a beautiful book.
Thank you so much.
You can explore the artworks and musings of Elizabeth Murray at her website. It's elizabethmurray.com. In addition to Monet's Passion, she's also written Living Life in Full Bloom, 120 Daily Practices to Deepen Your Passion, Creativity, and Relationships. Three American women who fell in love and remade their lives in Italy tell us how it worked for them in just a bit. But first, Don Wallace and his wife dreamed of living in rural France after visiting a rugged island off the coast of Brittany. But their French country dream house needed a lot more than the gardens to be restored. Don takes your calls next at 877-333-RICK as we hear about raising a family out of the rubble in the French house. It's Travel with Rick Steves.